Hey there, Walt here from Walt in PA, and today we're going to talk about motorcycle accidents, in particular the one that I was in just recently. So before we get into the nuts and bolts of the video, there are a couple of things that I want to bring to light. So if you are looking for crash footage or a crash compilation of any sort, this is not the video for you. Additionally, if you're looking for a short, concise video that just talks about motorcycle crashes in general, this is also not the video for you. Think of this video as an episode of the Motorcycle Adjacent Podcast, where I'm going to talk at length about my particular situation, leading up to the accident itself, and kind of some of the things that I'm dealing with after the incident is over. So, if you'd like to learn more, stick around. So to start this video, I think it's important to say, as far as motorcycle accidents go, this was an absolute best case scenario. The bike was damaged, but I walked away unscathed. In fact, I never even hit the ground. And I'm very thankful for that, because it could have been much, much worse. So let's start at the beginning. On Sunday, this past Sunday, it was Father's Day, and I was planning on going for a ride out to this place called Brigodoon Cafe out in the Bucks County area. And I was going to go out there, maybe have some breakfast, get some fresh coffee, and just have a really nice Father's Day breakfast after riding out into Bucks County, which is a nice area to ride around in. But change of plans, I wound up getting up, I spent some time with my family, hung out with my kids a little while, wound up having breakfast at home with my kids. After a little while, I decided that I was going to go out and take a ride on the motorcycle. Now, at that point, I had already had breakfast, really didn't have much interest in riding out to Brigodoon. So I sat down at my computer and I started Googling various places that I could go, you know, ride to and just kind of have a fun little late morning, early afternoon ride. And I settled on visiting a covered bridge in Lancaster. So I geared up, I plugged in the location into Detect, my motorcycle GPS app, ride tracker, and I set off. So I rode down some back roads. I wound up hitting a short section of 422, which is a terrible expressway in the area, but was only on it for a very short period of time. I took it for, I don't even think it was a half mile, and I made a left onto Pennsylvania Route 345. Not the one I did the video on, but a separate section. It's kind of a connector between the east and westbound sides of 422. Once you cross over, it takes you down into Birdsboro, Pennsylvania, where I was going to keep on going into the Lancaster area. So I made the left off of Route 422. There was a vehicle in front of me, then me, and then a vehicle behind me. We approached the red light. The vehicle in front of me stopped. I stopped behind the vehicle. The vehicle behind me stopped behind me. I did the usual, looked up at the light. It's red. Okay. Look at the vehicle in front of me. Okay. Check my mirrors, the vehicle behind me stopped, everything seemed normal. So I'm just kind of sitting there, glancing up at the light, glance down at the car in front of me. The car in front of me moves up a little bit, 3-4 feet maybe, to get a little bit closer to the light, I guess, to try to trigger the sensor, because it's kind of a long light there because of the expressway. And I assume that when the vehicle in front of me started moving, the vehicle behind me thought that the light changed. So I'm just kind of sitting there, relaxed, left hand on the clutch, right hand on the brake, right foot on the brake, left foot on the ground, kind of glancing up at the traffic light, looking down, you know, just kind of scanning the scene. And then all of a sudden, there was a tremendous jolt. Now, when it happened, I kind of went backwards and was looking at the sky for a second, and remember saying some profanity into my helmet. And instantaneously, I thought maybe my clutch cable broke. I mean, have you ever like dropped the clutch accidentally or let the clutch out when the bike was in gear, thinking that it was in neutral, and it kind of jolts under you, moves a little bit? I mean, it doesn't like take off or anything, but it jolts and then stalls. It was kind of like that, only a lot power, more power behind it. So I get slammed. I feel this big giant jolt. My head and arms kind of go up for a second, and then as I come down to try to get myself situated, the bike is already leaning over. So at that point, the bike just toppled over onto its side. I kind of went with it, and I'm not quite sure how I managed it, but I stepped off the bike, did a little hop, and you know, still thinking like, oh no, I did something stupid. I turn around and there's a car pressed tight up against my bike. And that's when the irritation kind of started to come in, because I knew at that point that I had been rear-ended by the vehicle behind me. So I'm standing there kind of dumbfounded, looking at the scene, looking at my bike, looking at this vehicle pushed up against it. And there's a little kid in the passenger seat of the car that hit me, and I can hear him shouting, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I'm wearing a full face helmet. I'm kind of shaking my head. I'm not talking because I can't imagine he's going to hear me. After he says it like two or three times, I'm trying to nod my head. But at that point, I just kind of turned away from him, walked to the edge of the road, took my helmet off, pulled out my earplugs, tossed my backpack on the ground. Actually, the first thing that hit the ground were my gloves, tossed them on the ground, then the helmet, then the earplugs, then my backpack, and then I unzipped my perforated leather jacket. And at that point, the child was out of the car, and he kept saying to me, "I'm so sorry, are you okay? Gammy was texting so-and-so, and she didn't see you. You know, it was an accident. She's sorry. You know, Gammy was texting so-and-so." I don't remember. He did tell me who she was texting, but I don't remember who or why. The kid must have been maybe 10 years old. At that point, the woman was still in the car. I'd imagine she was probably finishing her text message. And then the car in front of me heard the crash. He pulled off to the side. He got out, and he was standing there, and he looked at the little kid, and he said, "Man, you know, maybe you should stop talking now. You know, just kind of quiet down, because, you know, here is this kid rambling on about his grandmother's texting, and she ran into me, and she didn't see me, and it's okay. It's just an accident. You're okay," you know, that sort of thing. Eventually, the woman gets out of the car. She walks around, and, you know, she asks me if I'm okay. I say yes. She says, "You know, thank God. I'm so sorry. I wasn't paying attention. It was totally my fault." And, you know, she asked me, "You know, do you want to see my insurance information?" And at that point, I was kind of irritated that I got rear-ended. I was even more irritated that I got rear-ended by someone that was text messaging when it happened. And kind of more snarky than I needed to, I said, "No, what I want is a police report." And I reached down and I grabbed my iPhone off of my quad lock. I had, because I had Detect up for directions. So I reached down, I grabbed the phone, I called 911. That was kind of an interesting situation, because I didn't really know where, I mean, I knew where I was, but I didn't know the road names. I didn't know, you know, the businesses in the area. So I'm on the phone with dispatch, and she asked me my location. I told her, you know, I'm at the intersection of Route 345 and Route 422. I said, I don't know the road names because they change in various places. I mean, I know now, but the road that I got hit on was, I believe, Center Road. And then further down, it turns into like Main Street, and the road that comes across in one section is Ben Franklin Highway, and in another section, it's like Bombstown Road. So as these roads go through different townships, they change names. I just know that it was 345, 422, that's where I was. So dispatch is asking me, "Oh, are you near like the Bombstown Church, or heading towards the Bombstown Church?" I'm like, I don't know where that is. I'm just, here is where I am. And a few minutes later, the police show up, and it was a pretty simple and fast interaction with the police. He asked me if everything was okay, told him, you know, I'm not injured, I'm fine. At that point, I didn't touch the bike. I took a couple of pictures of the motorcycle and the car. I was blocking traffic. I wanted the police to arrive to see the scene before I picked the bike up. And when he asked if we could move the bike, I said, "Yeah, sure, you know, give me a hand lift picking it up." And that's what we did. Picked up the bike. I took it off to the shoulder. She moved her car, I don't know, pretty close, like onto the shoulder near me. And then we exchanged information. I gave the police officer my driver's license, my proof of insurance, my motorcycle registration. She did the same. I explained to us that he would give us a copy of like an information exchange. So basically, I would get all her information to contact my insurance company. She would get all my information to contact her insurance company. I don't know if any citations or tickets were issued. He went into the car. He was in there for a good 15 minutes, I guess running the IDs of both me and the other driver, and generating that report. While he was in there generating the report, you know, the woman apologized a couple more times, mentioned, you know, it's kind of strange. Like, have you ever been in a situation where it's kind of awkward, but the person that you're with, it seems to be like nervous talking. You know, they're trying to help the situation, but they're not really helping the situation. You know, she said like three or four times that, you know, my husband drives a Harley Davidson, so I know what it's like. And I'm thinking, of all people, like, you should know better. You know, if you're worried about your husband on the road due to careless drivers, you should not be one of those careless drivers who hit me. So, you know, she's talking a lot, and she's saying a couple of things that are kind of picking at my nerves, but I'm just trying to get through the whole situation, get the exchange report taken care of, make sure that the police report's right, and then figure out what I'm gonna do. So all this stuff is taking place. I called my wife, who was extremely freaked out, freaked me out a little bit. She immediately started crying, thinking the worst had happened. I told her, you know, it's not that bad. I'm not injured. The bike's banged up, but I'm definitely going to need a ride home. And she's crying. She's upset. I said, well, you know what? I don't want you to come get me. You're home with the kids. I don't want you driving upset. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get off the phone with you, and I'm going to call your dad, and I'm going to see if he can come get me. Now, her father owns an auto body business. He has a couple of tow trucks. So when I called him, it kind of became a two-for-one deal. I said, you know, can you come pick me up, and can you also bring a tow truck to tow my bike back? When I called him, you know, one of the first things I said was, hey, you know, can you do me a favor? And he immediately starts joking, oh, you know, I guess I can do something for you. What do you need? You know, and as soon as I told him, I've been rear-ended. I need you to tow my bike and pick me up. Like, his mood changed instantaneously. It took about half an hour for him to get there. In the process, while we were waiting, the incident report, or the exchange report was completed. The driver that hit me had something to do, so she wound up leaving. The police told her she could go. They had all her information and stuff, so she left. The police stayed behind with me, waiting for the tow truck to arrive. And eventually, I loaded the bike up onto the tow truck and kind of went home. There was a really interesting thing that happened, though, during this entire process. So I get rear-ended, the bike goes down. At some point during this exchange, we're outside of someone's house, and the guy comes out of his house, looked like we might have woken him up or something. He didn't have a shirt on, he looked a little bit disheveled, and he said, like, hey, is everyone all right? Anyone need a bottle of water? You know, any of that? And do you guys need anything? And, you know, everyone thanked him, said no thanks, and kind of, you know, waved and then went inside the house. A little bit longer in the process, the guy comes back out of the house. He comes over to me and he says, hey, do you have a tow truck lined up? Like, do you have a ride home? And I said, yeah, my father-in-law is actually coming to get me. I have a ride coming, you know, should be, you know, momentarily I'll be out of your way. And he says, no, it's, I have a trailer in the back. If you needed it, we could have loaded up your bikes. So, you know, I'm glad to hear that everything's worked out. You got a ride, you got a tow truck. And then, you know, he kind of goes back into the house. Then when my father-in-law gets there, so my father-in-law's got an auto body business. He does cars and trucks. He's not set up for motorcycles. So whenever he tows a motorcycle, it's kind of, you just got to kind of make it work. So he pulls up at the flatbed, and, you know, we kind of talk through how we're going to do this. He's going to kind of lower the bed. I'm going to push the bike up onto the ramp, and he's going to level out the bed, and that'll give me a hand kind of getting the bike situated at the far end of the, at the most forward end of the bed. We'll get it all strapped down, then we'll be able to go. So, you know, he goes on, he starts turning this stuff on so that he can start using the hydraulics to move the bed. And the guy comes back out of the house again and gives me a hand backing the bike up, getting it in a position. My father-in-law drops the bed. This guy helps me push the bike up onto the ramp. And the whole time we're kind of like chit-chatting. He mentions, you know, I ride a Harley Fat Boy. So I'm kind of like putting the pieces together at this point. Oh, he rides a Harley Fat Boy. He has a trailer. He's checking on me. Like I'm starting to understand. It's starting to become clearer. So we get the bike situated. I get the bike strapped down. I shake the guy's hand. I thanked him numerous times throughout the entire process. As you know, I'm kind of tightening the last of the straps down. The guy picks up all my gear, loads it into the tow truck for me. I thank him again. And you know, we were kind of off and on our way. What kills me is I never thought to ask this guy's name. You know, he was such a kind and helpful individual, and I could kick myself now that I never thought to ask his name. I, you know, shook his hand, I thanked him a bunch of times, but I have no idea what his name is. And it was kind of an eye-opening experience. You know, we, especially when you're in an online community, you know, there's all this talk of this motorcycle brotherhood. And I guess I never really understood what that really meant. You know, we go down the road, we do the two fingers to one another, we wave, you know, we try to be nice to one another, strike up conversations in parking lots, you know, that kind of look out for each other in those sort of ways. But I've never had anyone go out of their way to help me that much. And that just kind of gave me an eye-opening experience into this brotherhood that gets talked about so much online. So I don't know the guy's name. If by from some freak chance you're out there and you recognize my face and the motorcycle, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate all the help. You didn't have to do that, but I really, really appreciate it. You've kind of given me some insight into what this whole motorcycle brotherhood thing really is, and that means a lot to me. I hope to never have to, but I will absolutely pay it forward in the event that I see someone in need. As I said, hopefully it's not helping someone out at a crash, but I will absolutely pay it forward, and that I can attribute to you, Mr. Stranger, that helped a complete stranger after being rear-ended on the side of the road. So thank you. So as I said early on, as far as motorcycle accidents go, this was a best case scenario. My body never hit the ground. It wasn't really injured. It was a bit sore a few hours after the accident. My back was bothering me a little bit, but not enough to stop me from moving around as normal. It was kind of like just a, I don't know, just some tightness because of, you know, being stiff from being rear-ended. And when I went over the bike, or when I was kind of getting off, my left leg must have caught something. I've got a scuff across my calf and a bruise kind of up higher on the calf near my knee. Initially, I thought like maybe I whacked the foot peg because my left foot was on the ground. So maybe when all this was happening and my left foot was coming up, maybe I scraped it on the foot peg. But I'm not sure where the bruise came from. I don't know that her bumper would have made contact with me. She hit me, she made contact with my rear tire, and in doing so, the tail section of my bike hit her hood. So I don't know that her bumper would have been far enough for me to hit my leg, or whether I just caught something going over the bike, but got a little bit of a bruise. Again, it's not enough to make me not do anything that I normally do. I walk around, it's fine. If I push on it, it's kind of tender, but really that is the extent of it. And all things considered, I mean, I'm virtually unscathed. So, like I said, it could have been a lot worse. It was best case scenario as far as a motorcycle accident goes. So, after I got home, the first thing I did was I took that information exchange report and I called my insurance company. I opened up a claim. I gave them all the information, all of the other driver's information. I gave them the incident number so that they could pull the police report when it's ready. And I just kind of, the waiting game has started. And a few hours later, I want to say it was between like 3 and 4 o'clock, I got a phone call from the police department. It was the officer writing the report. He called to confirm a couple of things. He asked if I was stationary when I was rear-ended and if I sustained any injuries. And I reaffirmed that I was stationary. I was completely stopped when she struck me. And aside from being a little sore, I'm injury free. So, you know, I said thank you. That's all the information I needed, and then I got off the phone with them. The following morning, I got a call from the woman's insurance company, and they proceeded to tell me that There could be a slight problem in that the woman that hit me only has she has state minimum coverage, so it's like $5,000 worth of damages. And if the repairs exceed the $5,000, I'm not really sure what happens. I can go through my own insurance company, pay my own deductible, and then be reimbursed by her insurance company. I'm having a very tough time getting a hold of my own insurance adjuster. This process has been a little infuriating, just the lack of communication with my adjuster. I don't know if this is normal. I did call my local agent to mildly complain about it, and he had mentioned that, oh, the adjuster may have 200 other cases on file. Sometimes this takes a little bit of time. And my immediate thought was like, I pay you a lot of money every month for coverage on two vehicles, two motorcycles, my house, and yet like there's a delay in this. Like this should be a little quicker. I mean, I did get a phone call from the other insurance company. Like, I don't know, she must have called me at like 9:30 in the morning. I'd imagine they opened at 9 a.m. So Liberty Mutual was on the ball, not so much my insurance company. So hopefully everything pans out there. I really don't know how this is going to go. I need to talk to my insurance adjuster because I don't know whether to process this through their insurance policy or my insurance policy, because I don't know what sort of damage I'm looking at. So when she rear-ended me, the bulk of the impact was on the rear tire, and her hood hit my tail section. So the tail is just completely crumpled, like folded up under the seat. So my brake light's broken, my turn signals are broken. I don't know if anything else on the rear of the bike is broken. My seat's not torn, which is good because I was a little worried about having to replace that comfort seat. And when I got hit, the bike went over on its side. So the right bar end is scuffed. The frame slider is really gouged up, which, I mean, it's what it's designed to do. So good job. RNG Racing, I think, is what I have on that bike. My driver foot peg is scuffed up. The rear passenger, I don't remember whether might be the rear passenger foot peg or the mounting bracket is also scuffed up. My axle nut's all scuffed up, and something else on that side of the bike. So I don't know if that equates to $5,000 worth of damage or not. The mild concern that I have is because she hit me, because the impact was on my rear tire. I don't know if my swing arm could have been twisted. I mean, it's like aluminum, so I don't know if it's meant to sustain an impact like that. So the bike needs to be looked over, and because I haven't been in contact with my insurance adjuster, I don't know what to do. If I start down the path of using the driver that hits me's insurance, I don't know what happens if I hit the ceiling on the coverage. So do I need to process it through mine just in case? Again, all questions for my insurance adjuster. I just wish they would get back to me. Now, in a bit of frustration, I did wind up going over to Martin Moto. It's the dealership I bought the bike. It's where I bought the Ninja 400. It's where I bought my Honda CB650F. It's where I have all my service done. I have a long-standing relationship with Martin Moto. I like the service over there. And I figured I would go over there and talk to someone and see if they could give me a little bit of insight on how this whole process works. Do they even do insurance work? And if so, how does the process work? I've had damage done to my vehicles in the past. I had someone pull out in front of me in one of my cars. I got rear-ended many, many years ago. And the process is always pretty much the same. An insurance adjuster comes out, they evaluate the damage, they kind of write up an estimate or a quote, and then you take it to a shop and have it fixed. And if there are any issues, the shop doing the work submits an additional claim, and it's all kind of taken care of, not by me. So my concern was, is this insurance adjuster going to know what to look for? Are they going to be able to tell if the swing arm's twisted? How are they going to assess the damage? So I wanted to go over to Martin and talk to them about this whole process. They had said that generally the insurance company will pick up the motorcycle and deliver it to them on a tow truck. They will then do a 1 to 2 hour inspection, depending on how badly damaged the bike is, where they will itemize all of the components that need to be repaired or replaced. Then they will submit that information to the insurance company, who will either approve or deny, and then cut Martin Moto a check. So that's kind of one step in this whole process that it's a little comforting to know that I'm not necessarily waiting on an insurance adjuster to maybe come out and assess the damage, but more so kind of arrange pickup, and then kind of everything will happen at Martin Moto. There is a bit of a concern over that, not because of anything to do with Martin Moto, but it has everything to do with Yamaha. So if you remember a while back, I damaged the rear brake caliper on the MT-09, and 8 months later, it was still back ordered, and I had to eventually just cancel it. I was using a used rear brake caliper. So the concern is, what if any one of these components are back ordered? How many months is this bike going to sit over at the dealership waiting for Yamaha to fulfill a parts order on an insurance claim? So there's a concern there. I don't really think it's going to be totaled. I mean, she didn't hit me that hard. So hopefully it's just some components that are easily available and it's not a ton of work and it's easy to fix. But I won't know anything until I get it over to the dealership so that they can assess the damage. So folks, that's the end of this video. That's my my happy Father's Day being rear-ended on my motorcycle. So the MT-09 SP is down and out for the time being. Fortunately, I still have the Ninja 400. I did go out for a ride on that to work just a couple of days ago. It was an experience. I mean, when it happened, after I got home, I made a joke to my wife. I said, it's still kind of early in the day. What do you say I hop on the Ninja and go back out for a little ride? And she gave me this death stare. Again, I was only joking when I said it, but I was feeling kind of upbeat about the situation. I wasn't like overly concerned, like paranoid. But then like the following day, just kind of thinking about how it happened, and it completely caught me off guard. And, so when I got on the motorcycle on Tuesday to ride into work, I was checking my mirror a lot, and I was getting a little paranoid anytime I approached the light, making double, triple, quadruple checking to make sure the car behind me was stopping in time and leaving enough space. And then I continuously checked the mirror while the light was red to make sure that no freak accidents happened again. One other thing that's kind of worth noting, I had a friend of mine say to me, I'm really surprised you weren't more injured given the scenario. And I think a lot of that can be attributed to the fact that I was caught completely off guard. So we were stopped, even the car behind me, checked, did the usual stuff when I approached the light. Everyone was stopped, everything was normal, and then bam, I got hit. There were no tires screeching, there was no horns blaring, there was just nothing. It just came completely out of the blue. So I was relaxed, I was just kind of waiting for the light to change, and I think that probably has a lot to do with why I'm not a whole lot more sore, just because I was relaxed when it happened, never saw it coming. But enough about my accident. I'm sure I'll do follow-up videos to let you know how the whole process is going. This is all new. This is uncharted territory for me. I've never been in a motorcycle accident, so I don't really know how this whole insurance thing is going to play out. Hopefully it goes well. I will keep you in the loop as new things develop. Don't forget to check out waltnpa.com, where usually I'll post little blog posts or blurbs about what's going on with this whole situation if you want to keep up kind of in real time. I'll try to post supplemental videos along with it, but usually I just kind of push stuff out to the blog first before I sit down and record any sort of video. So if you enjoyed this video, do me a huge favor. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. If you have any experience with motorcycle accidents, I'd love for you to head on down to the comment section and tell me about it. What was the insurance process like? Did you have butterflies when you got back on the bike again? Did it change the way you ride? Did it change your perspective on riding? Did it make an impact on your mental state, moments before you get on the bike for that ride? So head on down to the comment section, share your thoughts. As always, ride safe, and I will catch you in the next one. And watch out for those people texting and driving. They're dangerous.